Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Chapter 6. And we're going to continue our studies in the series that we have been conducting, looking at what is recorded in the New Testament about youngsters, young people, children who met with the Lord. John chapter 6. And we're going to read from the earlier part of John chapter 6, the verse 5 is where we're going to begin. Verse 5 then of John chapter 6. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. It was a little test for Philip. The Lord does that. There are times he allows us to come into a set of circumstances which requires us to make a decision. What are we going to do? And we're either going to do what's right, look to the Lord for guidance and help, or we will end up doing what's wrong by making a decision out of our own head, and that will always be the wrong decision. Your head will always lead you wrong, because it's governed by the flesh. We need to look to the Lord for guidance. And so this test is set before Philip. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That's human reasoning. He took no account of the fact that the one beside him was God Almighty, able to provide a solution to every difficulty. He never thought of that. Never thought of the Lord. He just looked out on the multitude and he said, oh, it would cost a fortune of money to pay for food for this lot. And we need to learn from Philip's failure of the test that God set him, that we might not follow the same folly. But when we run into difficulties, look to the Lord. For the Bible tells us nothing is too hard for him. Nothing. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And that was a good suggestion. He was saying to the Lord, maybe here's the answer. But his faith run out, as it were. But what are they among so many? Again, there is a failure to look to the Lord and expect from him an undertaking in the difficulty. And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Let me just point out to you, boys and girls, the method by which God feeds his people. It's demonstrated here. The Savior took the food. He blessed it, for he gave thanks, and then he broke it up and he gave it to the disciples, the apostles. And they took it from his hand and they went and gave it to the people. That's God's way. The man who stands up on the pulpit should have food that God has given him from his word. This is the bread of life. And that he then takes that which God has given him and he distributes it to the people. That's what preaching is. That's what preaching is. And that's how it ought to be. Well, let's continue our reading. Verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now may the Lord bless us. You know, I thought on these words that we have just read and this incident involving the little boy, and the more I thought about it, the more wonderful the whole thing became to me. And even sitting there on the chair singing a hymn, there were thoughts that occurred to me, but unfortunately I couldn't write them down, and I just hope I can remember them. This little boy is a wonderful illustration of what each and every one of us, whether you're a little boy or a little girl or a grown-up, this little boy provides an example for us to follow. And I hope that the Lord will enable me today to set that truth before you. Now, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 appears in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And there's also the recording of another feeding of a multitude, again in Matthew and in Mark, but only in the fourth Gospel, where there is an account of the feeding of the 5,000, do we read about this wee boy. There's no mention of him in the other record. No mention of him. Now, boys and girls, let me tell you, in God's Word, what is mentioned is important, and what is not mentioned is also important. So, the first thing I wanted to think about as I came to this was, why did John mention him and not the others? And when you're reading the Bible, you should think about wee things like that and ask the Lord about it. Well, the four Gospels have four different emphases in them, all related to the Saviour. Each one of the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, as they're writing, has a particular view of Christ in mind, given them by the Holy Spirit, as they write. And you can see in their writings this emphasis. Now, the emphasis in John's Gospel is simply this, and you only have to go to the opening words of John's Gospel, and you will see that emphasis. What it was that was chiefly in the mind and heart of John as he was writing. John's Gospel begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, the Word is the Lord Jesus. That's who's spoken of. And John says the Word was God. And there is that overwhelming thought in the writings of John in this Gospel. He's very conscious that the Lord Jesus was God manifested in human form. And I think that is the reason why he was the only one mentioned, the little lad. Because, boys and girls, God sees, boys and girls. He sees what they do. He hears what they say. He takes note of it. And I want you to be very conscious of that today. I want you to be conscious of that today. Don't think for one minute you can sneak away and escape the observation of God. We all do that, behaving so properly in the presence of the teacher, but as soon as the teacher turns their back or leaves the room, we're a different character altogether. And we think, well, the teacher can't see that. Well, that's true. But don't think that works with God. It doesn't. God knows all about you. He knows about you now. He knows what you're thinking at this minute. He knows how you're reacting to what it is I'm saying. He knows about it. And if that truth came home to your heart, I'm telling you, it would sober you. It would sober you. So I feel that that's the reason I'm putting it forward as a suggestion. Anyway, why there is a mention in John's Gospel, the Gospel that's all about Jesus, the Son of God, why there's a mention of this wee boy and what he did. God noted it. I have no doubt that wee boy is in heaven now. And he's in heaven reaping the benefits, the harvest of the act that he performed here, as recorded in the Gospel. It pleased God what he did. Now, I'll take a little more time on that point, underscoring the fact that John's Gospel is all about the Lord Jesus being God manifest in the flesh. I've read to you verse 1 of the first chapter of John, and in the verse 14 of that same chapter, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that's a testimony to the constant view John had of the Lord Jesus. We beheld his glory. And as John is writing, he's ever conscious of who the Lord Jesus was. The record of the Bible regarding the relationship that existed between John and the Lord Jesus indicates a very close relationship, a loving relationship. John loved the Savior. John loved the Savior. When you go to his later writings, his epistles, you'll find him speaking constantly about the love of Christ and the love for Christ. So he walked and he wrote with a great consciousness of who the Savior was. He was God manifest in the flesh. And that being so, as I've said, boys and girls, nothing escapes the attention, the notice of God. And what this little lad had done, the Holy Spirit prompted John. You write that down, John. You make sure you write what the wee boy did, for I noticed it. Oh, that we might be aware of that, that we might be conscious of that. Psalm 33, the verse 18 says this, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy." Are you saved this morning? Are you? Are you hoping in the Lord Jesus for mercy? Trusting in him for salvation? The eye of God is on you. He's saying, they're mine, and I'll watch after them and watch over them and look out for them. Great thing to have God looking out for us. And that's the privilege of the Christian. Again, Psalm 34, the verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." A Christian has direct communication with God. This is the day of mobile phones. But you know, they let you down sometimes. Just where we are here, in this little area, maybe 5, 6, 7 fields, there's a very weak signal reaches here. I'm not quite sure, maybe just the hills around us hinders the signal arriving, but just this wee area here. And there are times people phone me and they wonder why I never answer. My phone never rang. The signal didn't reach me. But there's no loss of signal with God. In our communications with God, his ears, as the psalm says, are open to the cry. Psalm 34, verse 15. Isn't that a good thing? Bear that in mind. Bear that in mind, boys and girls, when you're in trouble. And you do run into trouble in this old world, because this old world hates the gospel and hates God. And therefore, we're going to run into trouble. But when you do, God's ready to hear you. Ready to hear you. Now, small action and all, as this may be when the little boy offered his 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, small action this may be, but there is a reward for such actions. It counts with God. Now, in this world, little things like that don't count with men. It's unimportant as far as they're concerned. They'll pass that by. Take no notice of it. But not so God. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 10, the verse 42. "Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." The Savior was talking about young ones who believed in him. And he says, if a disciple with a sense of responsibility as a Christian to help others gives a cup of cold water to a young one who's thirsty, there's a reward for that. Now, it's not a big deed giving a drink to a youngster in the name of the Lord Jesus, doing it for the Savior's sake. It's not a big thing. Nobody's going to write up in the newspaper about that. The Lord notices it, and he says there's a reward waiting for them in heaven. And were you to look at Matthew chapter 25, where there is a record given us of what it will be like when the Savior gathers men around him, and he divides the sheep from the goats, those who were really his and those who only pretend to be his, he gives rewards to those who are his sheep, and amongst the things that he rewards was the fact that they gave a cup of water, a drink of water, to others. When the Savior says you're getting a reward for that. It was insignificant in the eyes of men. Insignificant to the degree that the people who were being rewarded said, when did we do that? When did we do that? Because it was so insignificant they had even forgotten themselves doing it. But the Lord didn't forget or count it insignificant. You know, the lad was rewarded immediately. And the more I think about it, the more I feel that we should come to certain conclusions about the actions of this lad. I mean, we're told that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, think on that. How did Andrew know that? How did he know that? I think it can only be because this young lad, having an interest in the Lord Jesus, had made it his business to get up close to him. And he heard the discussion between Philip and the Savior about how are we going to feed this multitude. And I believe that lad, who had a lunch with him prepared by his mother, I'm sure, and he might have tugged the coat of Andrew and said, would this help? I feel that had to be the case. Andrew didn't look around and grab the wee boy. Have you any food on you? Give it to me. Oh, no. That wouldn't have been the case. This young fellow, I believe, was moved by what he heard in the discussion between Philip and the Saviour, and he was moved to offer what he could. Would this be of any help? I've no doubt about that. I've no doubt about that. Well, as a result of doing that, giving up his food, the Lord took his food and miraculously made it sufficient for 5,000. And among the 5,000 was the wee boy. He was sitting there and he munched the very bread that his mother had given him and the fish, nicely cooked and prepared. And he filled his tummy with it. He had enough. And there was far more left over than what he had brought to that gathering. 12 basketful. And I have no doubt that the wee boy went home with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, or at least the equivalent of that. He didn't lose anything by giving his all in the service of Christ. But there's a greater reward for him, which he is enjoying at this moment in glory. And it will yet be manifested in eternity, just the reward that this boy gained for himself by that one act. It shows his heart, doesn't it? It showed how he felt. He wanted to do what he could. The Saviour had pointed out the difficulty that there was. Now, the Saviour knew the answer, but he was testing Philip. And the boy, on hearing this matter, wanted to do what he could to serve the Lord and to help the cause of Christ and to help the multitude that had gathered and who were hungry. And so he offered his 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I might just tell you this, boys and girls. Barley loaves were the cheapest of food. Wheat is the normal ingredient for quality bread. Barley was the poor man's substance to make bread. So that this lad came from a poor family, I think we can say that. But even a poor boy's portion can be taken by God and made a blessing to thousands. Wouldn't we all have spent a useful life if we did something that benefited 5,000 people? That would be a very useful life. And that lad did that on one day. And I'm sure that he went on to serve the Lord usefully throughout his days and was a benefit to far more than just 5,000. Listen to me. The Lord wants from you what you have, what talent you have, what abilities you have. He wants it. He can use it wonderfully to the blessings of others and to your eternal reward in heaven. Are you saved today, boys and girls? Have you the heart of this boy? Do you keep close to the Lord and hear what it is he says and seek to respond to his word? Are you saved today? May the Lord save you if you're not. I'll have to come back to this again because there's a few other things I'd like to say. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And we thank thee for the example of this little boy. No name given. Lord, one day if we get to heaven, we'll learn his name. But, O God, what an example he is to us. Help us to give what we have in the service of Christ. May we not live to oppose Christ, to reject Christ, to despise Christ, to encourage others to likewise despise him and mock his gospel. O God, give us the heart of this lad. Bless the school today in all its needs and ways. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.